Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wisdom Wide Open Radio. Join me, your host, Susie Bonham Craig, and our esteemed guest this evening, Ariel Ford, as we embark on another journey to open the portal of wisdom. I invite you to participate in the chat room and call in with your questions on 718-305-6584 and press 1 to enter the queue. And now, our journey begins. Welcome, soulmates and journeyers, for another episode of Wisdom Wide Open Radio. Today is Sunday, August 9th, 2009, and I'm absolutely thrilled about the guest that will be sharing with us this evening, Ariel Ford. She is the author of The Soulmate Secret. And just before I bring Ariel on to journey with us, or have us journey with her, I should say, I'd like to tell you a little bit about her. Ariel has spent the past 25 years living and promoting consciousness through all forms of media. She's actually one of the founding partners of the Spiritual Cinema Circle, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. It's a DVD club dedicated to providing movies about love and compassion. And she's also the author of 7 books, including The Hot Chocolate for the Mystical Soul series. And, of course, the book we'll be speaking about this evening, The Soulmate Secret, Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction. But in addition to that, Ariel has helped launch careers of 11 of the New York Times best-selling authors, such as Dr. Wayne Dyer, Dean Ornish, Debbie Ford, Gary Zukav, Marianne Williamson, Louise Hay, and Don Miguel Ruiz, as well as Kenny Loggins. So it's with I'm totally thrilled to be able to journey with Ariel. So, Ariel, let's get you on here. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Susie?
I'm wonderful, wonderful. This is such an awesome topic, and, you know, no pun intended, but I'm sure it's one that's close to everyone's heart out there. So, and I really wanted to bring something like this to Wisdom Wide Open Radio. We're always talking about, you know, the wisdoms and insights that people have on their life journeys, their spiritual journeys, and this one remains, I believe, at the top of everyone's list. And I'd just like to find out a little bit more about how you embarked on this particular journey yourself.
Oh, wow, that's a big story. I used a variety of manifestation techniques in my career for many, many years, and ended up working with Deepak Chopra and Neil Donald Walsh and Chicken Soup for the Soul and all those other great people that you mentioned. But one day I woke up, I was in my early 40s, and I went, wow, I've never gotten married. It's like, what did I miss here? And so I decided to apply all the manifestation tools, techniques, rituals, and prayers that I used in my business to see if they would work in my love life. And I'm happy to report that they did. And I've now been with my soulmate for 12 years. We just celebrated our 11th anniversary, and the relationship continues to get better and better. So that's the short version.
Wow. Okay, well, you know, it's funny. After I delved into your book a little bit, I recognized that there were some things that I followed in my own relationship. And, I hadn't even heard about you until we had Peggy McCall on our show, and we so much wanted to bring you right there on in the air, and she couldn't get you in touch with you, so I'm really thankful that we got you here for a brief time with us today. But what I'd like to discuss is, when you talk about the soulmate secret and you're talking about the law of attraction, is there a secret behind finding and preparing to attract your soulmate into your life?
Yes, and it is, and in a word, it's called forgiveness. Because these manifestation tools are very, very powerful. So before you start using them, you should start from what I call clean ground. You want to forgive yourself for anything you believe you've done wrong in past relationships. And most importantly, you want to forgive those that you had bad relationships with. Because if you don't do this, if you don't clear the past, you're going to end up recreating what you didn't want before. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you need to get to a place where you're healed. Not totally healed. I don't know that we ever get there. But that you're really ready for the biggest love of your life. So forgiveness is the very, very first step. The second step is getting clear about what kind of relationship do you want? Who is this person? What are the traits and qualities that they embody? And even as important as that is, a short description of what your life together will look like. You know, some people want to just leave it up to the universe. Well, let's just see what happens.
And yeah.
You know, and that doesn't
always work out. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I mean, just there's so many important things you got to know about what's important to you, for you. So when I made my list so many years ago, I wanted somebody who was affectionate. That was really important to me. I came from a family where people weren't that affectionate. I wanted somebody who was generous, not generous with money, but generous with their time and their attention. I wanted somebody who wanted to do a lot of exotic travel the way I do. I needed somebody who loved cats because I'm a cat lover, and my previous relationship had been with somebody who's allergic to cats. So it's really, yeah, think about it. There are a lot of critical factors to having a great relationship that if you know yourself beforehand, you can put in your order with the universe. Now, I'm not saying you need to be specific down to the exact pound that they weigh, especially if it's not that important to you. But, you know, if you're 5'2", you may not want a guy who's 6'7". You know, you may have a comfort range. That's true. I have a girlfriend who just got divorced, and she's 5'2". And I know this other guy who just got divorced, and I was telling her all about him. And she said, well, how tall is he? Oh, I said, he's tall. He's 6'5". She said, I can't do it. It's too tall for me. You know, so she knew. She already knew ahead of time. Even if he was the greatest guy in the world, she didn't want to live with a sore neck. Looking up, I should say.
Belly button staring, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So having a soulmate wish list is really a key step. And people say, oh, I know that. I've done that. But you know what? There's more to it than that. So you make your list. You have a very, very detailed list. Then you need to have your best friend check it over to make sure you didn't leave out anything important. For instance, suppose that you are a couch potato. You know, you're just exercise, the thought of it gives you a headache. You don't want to manifest somebody who's training for a triathlon. Otherwise, you'll never see them. So you want someone who's going to look at it with a different pair of eyes and make sure you didn't leave out something really critical. And then you want to create a ritual to release your list to the universe. And there are a lot of fun ways to do this. The way I did it was I'm a big believer in lunar cycles, and I wanted to release my list on a new moon. So it just so happened there was a new moon coming up the next week. It was on a Friday, which was great because Fridays are the day of Venus, goddess of love and beauty.
Yes.
So on that next Friday at 12 noon, I went down to the coast. I reread my soulmate wish list. I said a prayer over it. I blessed it. And then I burned it, and I scattered the ashes in the ocean. I then took myself out to lunch. I ordered a glass of champagne, and I toasted my soulmate wherever he was and told him the cosmic welcome mat is now open. So that's just one way to release it to the universe.
Wow. That sounds, you know, it sounds so much like what I did. I was out of a relationship, and on a Friday, I made this list, just like you said, but my list was different than it had been in the past. In the past, it was all about he needs to be attractive, he needs to have this, he needs to have that. And then I think what made the difference for me was in writing how I wanted to feel in my relationship. Now, does that make a difference?
And that is such a brilliant way to do it, because that's really what's so important. How do you want to feel every day when you wake up and you roll over and you look into this person's eyes? You know, that is so much more important than, you know, whether or not they're a great dresser, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, that's true.
That's true, too. I know that's easy for me to say because my husband has exquisite taste in clothes, much better than mine. But you know, so many people are hung up on superficial things. And really, it's how are you going to feel? I don't know if you've seen the new movie that's out, Julie and Julia.
No, I heard you did see it yesterday, though.
Oh, it's fantastic. And the thing that I so loved about it is that it's a movie about two great marriages. And in both marriages, it's the woman who's super ambitious and driven and full of passion. And then she's got this great man standing next to her, supporting her and loving her through every step of the way. And I don't know that there's ever been a movie out in my lifetime that demonstrated two great marriages at the same time.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. Now, with respect to, you know, with all the elements of spiritual self-discovery that, you know, many of us are opening up to, and much is discussed about unity and unconditional love, how much of our self-image is really key in attracting a life soulmate?
Well, I mean, self-image is how do you feel about yourself? You know, are you happy with what you look like, and are you happy with who you are? Because I think until you love yourself, it's going to be really hard to attract somebody who is the deep kind of loving, nurturing soulmate that you say you're asking for. So depending on what you mean by self-image, I think it's pretty important. I tell people all the time, especially women over 40, you know, if you're running around wearing the same haircut you've had for 20 years and you've gotten to the phase of your life where everything has an elastic waist, you know, maybe it's time to rethink how you love yourself and how you show up for yourself before you go out there looking for a soulmate. I was talking to a matchmaker I had lunch with yesterday, and that's not something I do. I don't ever venture into. And she was telling me she has a lot of clients in their 60s and 70s. A lot of women in that age group, and she polled the men in that age group to see if she could find out why it is the older guys want the younger women, besides for the obvious. And the thing that she found out, the biggest complaint was, is that women of a certain age are always talking about their grandchildren, which turns the guys off.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that is interesting.
And then it makes sense, of course, because if you're, you know, out on a date, whether you're 45 or 60, you don't want to be talking about grandchildren, you know? That beats you, you know, right? That puts you into a certain age group. How can a guy feel hot and sexy if he's talking about grandchildren?
Yeah, I think the only thing worse than that is talking about your past relationships.
or whatever chronic illnesses and diseases you have and all the medication you take. But we're
exactly.
Completely getting off topic here. I'm sorry.
No,
I don't know how I took
no,
you down
that's,
the road.
That's quite all right. You know, I know a lot of us, as we experience relationship and we go from one relationship to another, and then we talk about unconditional love. And I find more often than not, and you know, I'm my own bearer, my own witness to this in my own life, is, you know, you try to fit square pegs into round holes. Either we become we idolize our partner and we have all these expectations. Can you comment on that?
Well, I think I'm not exactly sure what you're asking, but here's what I have to say about it.
Okay.
You have to be careful not to go into a relationship thinking you're going to change somebody. Men generally tell you who they are right up front. You know, now sometimes we don't want to listen, you know, but they're, you know, unless they're really slimy, for the most part, guys are not that deceitful about who they are and what they want in a relationship. So it's your job as the soulmate manifester to know what it is you want, to make this list. And as you meet different people, don't start compromising on date two. Oh, well, I really want children, but he already has kids, doesn't want any more. I'll let go of that.
Mm.
You know, I'm not sure that's the way to go. I mean, I remember talking to one woman. I had been auctioned off in a silent auction for a one-hour soulmate consult. And she was 45 and divorced and looking for another relationship. And I said to her, no, she was 42. I said, do you want children? And she couldn't give me a straight answer. And I said, why? Either you do or you don't. Most women know by 42 whether or not they want children. She goes, well, I really do, but I don't want to make it a deal breaker because chances are any guy in my age group already has kids or doesn't want them. And I said, do you see how limiting that is?
Yeah.
You know? The perfect guy is out there, whether you want kids or don't want kids, because someone years ago started a dreadful rumor that you only get one big love in your life, and it's just not true.
Oh, okay. So let's expand on that. Obviously, then you don't believe everyone has one soulmate.
Oh, I think we have lots of them. And first, let me tell you what my definition of a soulmate is.
Yes.
I believe a soulmate is somebody you can completely be yourself with, somebody that you love unconditionally, who loves you unconditionally, and when you look into their eyes, you have the experience of being home. So,
that's so true.
So there's that could be your husband or your wife. It could also be your daughter or your son. It could be your best friend. It could be your business partner. It could be a coworker. You could have 10 soulmates all at the same time. You know, and you can have more than one romantic soulmate. What about all the people whose spouses die and then they find another one, they get remarried? That happens every day. My own mother-in-law at the age of 80, after being married for 55 years and being a widow for 5 years, called up one day and said, I'm ready for another relationship. And for the past 3 years, she and her honey have been living together in an assisted living facility, and they couldn't be happier.
Isn't it great when they meet you right where you are?
Yeah, they moved into it after they met. They both had their own homes, and they decided to sell both homes and to buy a home together. And there happened to be a cottage available on the grounds of this very beautiful facility, which they both knew someday they would need those services. But in the meantime, they're in an independent home. So anything's possible. And, you know, if you want, I know all these people want to give me an argument. Oh, I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too broke. I'm too this. I'm too that. And you know what? You can believe that story if you want to, and you can get to be right about it. But for every story like that you can tell me, I'll tell you three more of a man or a woman the same age as you that did manifest a soulmate.
Mm.
You're only looking for one person.
That's true, but is it true that cycles with our life as well? I mean, some of us go from relationship to relationship. I don't mind sharing. I've been married 4 times, and I, you know, one time I had a gentleman ask me, Susie, I guess, you know, you never found the right guy. And I disagreed with him because for me it was at the right time. They were all the right guy at that time.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I have many friends that have been married 4 times and they're now with their, you know, the one for them for right now. I mean, it's really hard to imagine that when you're 20 years old, you're together enough to even recognize the person you could spend the rest of your life with. You could recognize the person you can spend the next 3 years with. But people grow and change, and so I never make it wrong that anybody got divorced. You know, some marriages just run their course. You know, they're 1 year, 5 year, 10 years, 20 years, whatever, and then it's over. And there's another soulmate out there for you. You know,
so
unless you want to live in the past.
Right. Well, do you think that we get caught up in that forever after, like, or for the rest of my life and in that commitment?
You know, I think some people do. I mean, it's a great thought to say, oh, I love you so much and you love me so much and we're going to be together forever. Listen, I know a guy who wrote one of the best books out there on soulmates. He wrote it with his soulmate. He wrote the book 30 years ago. It's a classic. But 5 years ago, the wife woke up one day and said, I'm done. You know, now they're still friends. She's remarried. But how could you make any part of that wrong?
Right.
You know,
right. Well, those are those relationships, which I'm actually happy about. I'm very appreciative of all the time that I've spent and the catalyst that all those relationships have been to my own growth. But let's get into the steps. Because we all know what a great manifester you are. You're always making things happen in your life and really catalyst to others in their life as well. So what are the key steps to manifesting a soulmate?
Okay, so we already talked about forgiveness and making
right.
a soulmate wish and wish list and releasing it. The next step of that is creating a treasure map. Now, I'm sure everybody listening knows what that is, a vision board where you cut out pictures and images and graphics and words and collage them onto a poster board and make it a visual representation of the future that you're creating. Why is this important? It gives you something to focus on every day, something to let your imagination hook onto, you know, to see, yes, this is my life. This is what it looks like. This is where I am. Because part of the key to manifestation isn't living in the place of wanting, hoping, wishing, dreaming. That's not where it lives. It lives in knowing in every cell of your body that what you've asked for is already yours. Now, I can hear half of the listeners going, oh, but how is that possible? I can't possibly. And here's how we do it. We do it with what I call a feelingization. And these are free on my website. If you go to soulmatesecret.com, click on great stuff, that'll take you to free stuff. In the free stuff section, you can download all these feelingizations where I guide you into a heart space where you can remember what it feels like to feel love and gratitude and appreciation. And once you get yourself back into the physical remembering, re-experiencing of love, that's when you drop in the knowing that what you've asked for is already yours. And we don't have enough time today to go any deeper than that. But that's where manifestation is. And I call it a feelingization because it doesn't work without the feeling. Just visualizing yourself walking down the aisle or waking up happy with your beloved, for many people, isn't enough. But being able to feel what it feels like to experience in present moment, yes, this is already mine, that's where the magic is.
And feeling your day-to-day as if.
Yes. So living as if is the next key to it. And when I say living as if, I mean if I said to you, I guarantee you in the next 72 hours, your soulmate is going to ring the doorbell, how would you be standing in this very moment? Wouldn't you be standing taller? Wouldn't there be a smile on your face? Wouldn't you be running around doing a million things, getting ready, whether it's picking up the dry cleaning, putting new sheets on the bed, clearing out the clutter, you know, losing the 10 pounds you've been saying you're going to lose forever but haven't. You'd be doing a lot of things. So when you're living as if, you're living in the reality that you know your soulmate's on the way. You don't know how, when, or where they're going to show up, but you know they're coming. And it's not your job to know how, when, or where. It's only your job to be ready. And that's living as if. And there's lots of other ways to do it. You can do it by buying greeting cards that you're going to give them someday, buying tickets to concerts or plays that you're going to go to someday in the future, by making space in your closet and in your chest of drawers and in the nightstand for them. Those are all living as if. I met a guy yesterday. I was out speaking somewhere, and this guy came up to me with a big smile on his face, and he goes, thank you. And I said, for what? And he said, I read your book, and I'm engaged to my soulmate. And I said, well, how did it happen? He said, 6 months ago, I got an invitation to a wedding, and I wasn't dating anybody, but on the response card, I checked off that I was going to be bringing somebody. And my friend called me up, and he said, who are you dating? And I said, nobody, but I'm going to be dating somebody by the time your wedding comes around. And sure enough, he manifested somebody, and they just got engaged.
That's
living
awesome.
Isn't that great?
An awesome story. And I know that, you know, we're just running out of time with you, and I just want to let our listeners know to visit Ariel's website, which is soulmatesecret.com, as well as the free stuff. I believe you have videos and audios and all kinds of great stuff there on the site.
And
yes, you can also purchase the book, which is a great recipe book. I think it's wonderful for those that are embarking on that journey of really wanting to manifest their soulmate. But here's the last question. Ariel, you know, and I used to ask this as a little kid, and all I heard people say was, you just know. How do you know when you've met your soulmate?
Well, for most people, they do know. It's just this, like you know that there's more than enough air for you to breathe, and you know what water tastes like. You know, you can't describe it, but you know what it tastes like. You know when you've met your soulmate. It's just everything lines up, and for me, I heard a voice. And the voice said to me, he's the one. This is how it happens. This is who you're going to spend your life with. But there's this knowingness that comes over you. Now, if you have made your soulmate wish list, you know, and you're checking it off and everything's there and you're sinking and it's flowing and you're both available and willing. Now, this is not to say you're never going to have problems, because I do get people saying, well, I met my soulmate, but we're having issues. It's like, hello. Yes, you still have to work through issues like anybody else. But when you're with your soulmate, there's a knowingness that comes with it. And if you don't have the knowingness, then don't rush it. The knowingness will come if they are your soulmate.
Right, and is it really something we don't really have to go out looking for? I mean, if we're really pinned down and we're really sure about what we want to, you know, who we want to be attracting and how that's feeling, doesn't that often find us?
Well, of course it does, and I want to tell you a really great story about that. My mastermind buddy, Peggy McCall, got divorced about 8 years ago, and she had a 6-year-old son, and they moved to the suburbs. So here she was, single mom, working from home, living in the suburbs, never got out. But she was ready to meet her next soulmate. So part of her soulmate wish list was that her soulmate would find her. And one morning at 8 in the morning, her doorbell rang, and a very attractive man was standing there, and he introduced himself, and he said, "Hi, my name's Denis. They live in Canada." And he said, "I just moved into the neighborhood, and my dog sitter hasn't come, and I have to go to work. Is there any way you could watch my dog today?" And they've now been together for 7 years, happily married with 3 dogs.
I do love it. Peggy did share that story with us, and it's wonderful. I think it's a great, great story. Oh, wow. So what's next up for you, Arielle?
Well, I just got back from the European Soulmate Secret Tour, which was great fun, and I'll be going back to do workshops next year. So I'm still, you know, busy talking about the Soulmate Secret every day, trying to let as many people as possible know that if you want big love, it's possible, no matter how much you weigh, how much money you have or you don't have, what your age is, how many times you've been married. None of that's important. And that's really what I'm up to. So Soulmate Secret and Spiritual Cinema Circle, and that keeps my days full.
Okay, so what's the one question one could ask themselves when discerning while dating someone?
Does this person make my heart sing? You know, do I feel loved and cherished? Do I feel safe? Do we have shared values? Do we want the same kind of life together? Is this a person who has compassion? Are they supportive? You know, if there's a red flag, what is it, and can I tackle it, and can we have honest, open conversation, you know, or am I walking on eggshells? You know, anytime you get that bad feeling in the pit of your stomach, listen to it. It doesn't mean it's the end of the relationship. It just means there's a conversation to be had. And Gay and Katie Hendricks have the most brilliant work on relationships. And Katie Hendricks always says, tell the truth as soon as you know it, as openly and as honestly as you can.
Right, and ask those questions,
ask
I would imagine.
Ask the questions. What's the worst that can happen? You know, better you find out now that, you know, they're married to somebody else or whatever, you know. But we were, as human beings, we have excellent radar if we listen to it.
Well, that's it. And I think that's one of the most important things on that soulmate wish list is authenticity in your relationship. I think that's really, really important. But is there anything else? We're going to open up the lines after our interview, Arielle, to the soulmate circle, and we're going to hopefully have listeners share some of their soulmate stories. But before we do that and before we let you go, is there any last words that you have for our listeners?
Yes. Let me find. There's my favorite poem that's in the book, which I just love. Let's see if I can get my hands on it quickly, because I always forget where it is in the book. You should see this little book I have with little yellow tab sticking out of it. I don't know if I'm going to find it. Here it is. The minute I heard my first love story, I started looking for you, not knowing how blind that was. Lovers don't finally meet somewhere. They're in each other all along. And
that sounds like Rumi to me.
It is Rumi. That is Rumi.
That's wonderful.
I just love that.
Well, thank you so much, Arielle. It's been a thrill having you, and the time really flew by. You know, but hopefully we'll see you again in the future, and, you know, perhaps there's something that extends, right? We're always growing and sharing, so, you know, perhaps we'll see you around again,
that
and you'll come
great.
Join us.
All right. Take care.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Well, hi, listeners. That was awesome to hear, Arielle, and what a great information to get in a short amount of time. I don't think I've ever done such a quick interview before, but I really would like to open up the lines for anyone out there, our listeners, who would like to share either their soulmate stories or perhaps their almost there and not quite, and they have some questions. And I believe we do have a caller on the line, so I'm going to open up the lines. And now we have caller 404-397. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
I am Cassie, and I am so happy you had this show because I've actually had so many experiences because I'm a counselor, and I was like, this book is amazing. I have had a third of my clients actually call me. I had just kind of posted on the blog, so I was like, I got to let people know this stuff is real. You can really meet your soulmate. And just the easy tips they mentioned is kind of like getting out of your own way. And I met mine in the process of helping other people.
That's wonderful. You said you had over 50 people, testimonials.
Well, what happened is, I had ended up, because I dealt with so many people with counseling, a lot of people are realizing what's important, you know, during the economic times that are kind of making them feel like, wow, maybe I really don't need money as much as I thought I need to really find out what's really important to me. And they kind of start evaluating things more. It's not just about work. And so many of them were looking for soulmates. And even guys love that book. It's amazing how many people I've talked to now have really met people who they connect with deeper than they ever had. And I met my soulmate through that book.
Well,
reading
sure
the book.
Arielle is going to love to hear that.
I cry so much when I talk to him about it. And he actually read the book, too. And guess where we met?
Where?
We met in D.C., but then we ended up, we didn't connect because there were so many people at an AMA function. And she had mentioned AMA function in her own story. And I thought, wow, I don't know why that story resonates with me. And then he found me on Gaia, Ariel's website. And it's amazing how many things we had in common with her. You know, with just her stuff.
Right. Well, you know, I tend to find that as we move through, you know, these cycles of our life, and we tend to get closer and closer to those people that are like-minded and hearted and spirited souls as we are, that it's much easier than if you're hanging out at a bar, you know, thinking that, well, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen for people like that. What I'm saying is I think I'm coming more into that understanding that, you know, that like-mindedness and that is really what attracts you, that, like, you know, that your hearts are both open and where that unconditional positive regard can shine through. And, you know, I'm so loving where my relationship is going after so many, and just knowing that the tips that Arielle offers in her book are so true. You need to try them out. I don't care if you start out small, you know, just manifest, you know, something really small and play with it, but find out, really take the time to sit down and write that wish list and have it with that whole feeling context. And maybe you could share with us maybe one or two of the things that you did while reading the book.
You know what? That's so funny because I was going to tell you, a lot of the stories actually stuck true for me. And then I read Mystic, you know, the Mystic Lovers 101. It had some of the stories in there too. My Ariel Ford, but the soulmate secret, I actually didn't do the treasure board. I just wrote out what I wanted, and then I wrote out what I didn't want, and then I just let it go because I didn't want to be fixated on it. And I started that process in April after having been divorced for 2.5 years. What he did was, he'd never been married. He actually did a treasure board, and he wrote out everything he wanted in a mate. So when we met, we had been dreaming about each other so that we were at a spiritual community event, and when we saw each other, we didn't even speak. We were so afraid of what we felt. It took us 3 times of seeing each other, and we met in D.C., and we both lived in Georgia. I didn't say that. But because we had been sending out, some of the stories would tell you to send out almost like a care bear, your ray of your soul energy out to the other person so you instantly know each other. That's what we kept doing. So everything that they said that resonated with us in the book, the different stories, we just did those things and played with it like it was a game.
So now how long have you been together with your soulmate?
A year has been, well, actually, I read the Soulmate Secret in, we met before we actually read the book. We just didn't know we were each other's. So we met a year ago, but we actually became soulmates at the AMA convention where we met at. We didn't meet at AMA's convention. We met at a ceremony, but I was up there for an AMA convention. And I thought it was funny because sometimes you can almost create how you guys are going to meet based upon the fact that you're so open to it. But we've been together 6 months now, and it was a year, and he's already wanting to be married, but there's no doubt and fear in our relationship, and that's very new for both of us.
Wow. Well, that's wonderful to realize that, and knowing that you're ready to embark and go in and, you know, just be totally open to what you have your mind and your heart, mostly your heart, set on. So thank you so much for sharing that today. And I'm sure Arielle, if she listens to the archive, will get a kick out of that as well.
Thank you.
Here's one more testimonial to her story. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
All righty. We also have another caller on the line I'd like to take, and this is 732-245. You're on the air.
Hi, Susie. Heather.
Hello, Heather. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm awesome. I'm awesome. I'm loving this topic. How about you?
Oh, I'm absolutely loving it. As you know, I've been going through quite a soulmate search myself, and, you know, I get the alerts from Facebook for your show, and this was kind of a hard day for me in the morning because I've been having some, I should say, spiritual advisors telling me that I have found my soulmate, but he's no longer even with me right now. And when I saw this, I saw it as a sign like, okay, maybe I need to restructure who I want to be with. And if it's him, great. If it's not, there's somebody else. And this really helps. And I love how she said you have more than one soulmate, because I know personally the first person I thought was my soulmate is now one of my best friends. And it was so funny for her to say that you have more than one soulmate, because I've always believed that. But the one soulmate you're supposed to be with, obviously, is the one that you hear those words for. And I really thank her, because she made me think about, we made a list when we first, we made a list when we first met, and I think my list has definitely changed because I've changed. And I think I'm not going back to that list lately has kind of affected my relationship issues, so to speak.
Yeah, well, Arielle did mention that, you know, you make this a daily kind of ritual for yourself, and to really keep it, you know, it's no different than our vision boards. And I know you and I have worked with vision boards before. So, you know, make this and really put that feeling as if, you know. And I remember,
yeah.
Heather, you've manifested quite a bit of things in your life, you know, from, you know, tickets to the Maury Show. I remember all of that. It was wonderful stuff watching that manifest for you. So, you know, I think it's wonderful that, you know, you're noticing that you're changing, that your needs are different now, and maybe it's a time for a new list. You know, and really, if you have to ask yourself, do you really need a spiritual advisor to let you know who your soulmate is? And, you know, maybe try to turn that in and look within, and you decide who that's going to be.
Absolutely. It was so funny when I was lying in bed when you guys were talking, and I looked on my wall, because I don't have a vision board anymore, but I still put pictures up of things that I want. A lot of them are apartment buildings, and a lot of them are events I want to go to and people I want to meet. And there was this one photo, I don't know if you've ever heard or seen, of the Wars and Kiss, the one of the sailor and the nurse. And I looked at it and I said, that's what I want, just an old-fashioned romantic situation where I can live a once-in-a-lifetime kind of moment for the rest of my life. And it was just so funny that I've never really thought about why I like that photograph so much, and that's what really kind of took me by surprise. I'm like, why do I like this photograph? And I said to myself, because that's what I want. That's what I want in the relationship. Just an old-fashioned classic love story.
All right, well, now is a perfect time for you to sit down and really flesh that out. And
yes. And
what does that mean? I mean, I know that means something completely different to me. You know what I mean? I could go back to the movie Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeve and Jane Seymour and go, that's my classic old-fashioned love story, but it's got quite a spiritual theme to it, you know, a supernatural theme at that. So, you know, this is a really great time for you to be able to flesh out those things that you really want to feel in your relationship. And So do you have any questions, or is there anything else that you'd like to share?
Well, I guess the one thing I definitely want to ask is, I don't know if I don't know if this is a stupid question or not, but did your soulmate ever come back to your life? Because I've gotten into a position in my life where I'm starting to invite people that were once in my past back into my present. And some people are coming back and some people are completely rejecting it. But I was thinking about it because I've got a lot of friends whose boyfriends, they go back and forth into relationships. And I've gone back and forth into relationships, especially with my last real, real serious boyfriend. I'm just wondering if you believe that, you know, do soulmates leave? I know you meet people on your path for a reason, but when people return, I mean, do soulmates return after time spent? That's, I guess, my question. And I know it sounds kind of weird.
Well, if I'm to declare myself a relationship expert based on my own experience, Heather, I think it's I really appreciate this question, and I'm sure our listeners will too, is that, you know, I think there's two ways of looking at this. You know, mm-hmm. we can fall in love with someone or believe that we're in love with someone, and we go through a process with them. We go through an experience with them, and sometimes mm-hmm. the relationship ends. And I think that, you know, oftentimes when we look back at that relationship, we have to ask ourselves two questions. If we're feeling those feelings that are coming up again for us, is it just because we believe that we have unfinished business? And I'll quote unquote that by saying, you know, was it the right relationship at maybe just the wrong time? Yeah. Or is it something about where now I see what I couldn't see then? And now there's a different value. Like you said, your needs change. Are there things Absolutely. That this relationship could provide? Now, there are some people that would rather say, no, I'm shutting that door, I'm closing that door, because they have perceptions that that person never changed, but they did, or vice mm-hmm. versa. So mm-hmm. you really have to discern for yourself, you know, why am I looking back here? Am I mm-hmm. looking back here because there's something new to explore? And now that you've changed because of that experience, could this new experience with that person align with the values that you have right now?
And it's so funny because I had a conversation with my last serious boyfriend, George, and we actually made the result of exactly what you said. We were the right people that met at the wrong time in our lives. And now that everything's kind of back in order, and he's a little back in order, and I'm a little back in order, we're just friends. But there will be moments where we will go back and think about the past and be like, what exactly happened? I mean, we seemed to be perfect, and then all of a sudden everything fell apart. And I don't plan on going back there relationship-wise, but it was just kind of funny. That's what kind of popped in my head. Do soulmates return to your life on a romantic level, or do you only get one, I don't want to say one shot, but do you only get one chance with a person, and then they become something on a different level? And personally, I've got a lot of ex-boyfriends who I tried to re-invite into my life as friends who just aren't the right people to even be friends with. But that just kind of popped in my head when she was talking about multiple soulmates. And I'm definitely going to start working on this list, absolutely, because obviously I can see more than ever that my position in my life and myself have changed enough where my needs for a soulmate might be a little more different than the girl who lived in Jersey at her parents' house to the girl who runs a business in New York.
Well, you know, like you said, you have all these intricacies now, and you have some new things that you've opened up to yourself. And one of the questions I would ask, probably the first question I would ask, is what is triggering me to entertain this again? And mm-hmm. where is that really coming from? Is it coming from my heart? Is it coming from because I don't want to be lonely and this is a familiar connection? I mean, there are plenty of questions that you could ask yourself, so long as you're conscious of where you're going with this right now and where you'd like to go. And as Ariel mentioned to us, you know, is it something that's really aligned with the way that, you know, you're as if, living as if really works for you? Mm-hmm. Can it fit in there? Don't be making the excuses this time, because that's what tends to happen when we get drawn back, and now we're going to find ourselves repeating the same patterns again, which is perfectly fine, too, because if that's what we need to do to get where we need to be, then that's, you know, that's our cycle of life. So I really appreciate those journeys as well.
Oh, no, I've been watching myself a lot closer lately. When I see a relationship turn into what past ones have, I immediately start questioning, and I listen to that. Like she says, when you get a feeling of pit of your stomach, listen to that, because that's yourself saying, this isn't right. It may be right. This might be just a moment, but this might also be a warning. And I definitely appreciate that.
Let's start with something Sunny J just brought up in the chat room, and the mere act of searching, he says, implies that it isn't here now. So, you know, relative to what Ariel was telling us about living as if and really getting into that feeling state, what if, you know, you opened the door tomorrow and your soulmate was standing there, you know, what would you need to be doing? Or, you know, are things ready to be able to accept that and invite that into our lives? So really, you know, take a look at searching, because searching means you're on this never-ending quest. And I assure you it'll be never-ending if you're not aligned with the here and now and what it is. And rather, you know, maybe do what Peggy McCall said and said, please, universe, you know, bring this person to me so that I'm not out there and everyone I'm looking at going, is that him? Is that him? Is that him? Is that him? You know, and we're just trying, because we're so focused on finding a him that we're not really aligned with our own intentions about what we want to attract and who we want to attract and the types of feelings and, you know, relationship, those elements of our relationship that we really want to hold close to our heart. You know, and I think that's where, when we get into a searching mode, you know, I agree with Jay completely, is that it's one thing to say I'm ready to invite this big love into my life, and I've got to go out and I've got to find somebody.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And you do feel like, you know, you look at every face going, is that him? I still catch myself sometimes looking at a face, looking at me going, could this be the guy for the rest of my life? But, like, I don't even know his first name, and I'm already choosing that.
Well, you know, it's setting that intention and then waiting, letting it go and letting wait to see what happens, rather than going, you know, where's that love of my life? Is he under the cushion? Is he at the beach? Is he at the bar? Is he, you know, is he at work? Is he here?
Yeah, on the
and
train.
Then everyone that you look at, you're wondering if it's him, and to kind of try to let that go because you won't, like Ariel said, and I believe this as well, when you are engaged with a person, whether it be on a date or in conversation, you get that feeling of, I've just touched home, or I've returned home. It's that type of a feeling. Rather than a curious feeling, there's a feeling of resonance there.
A feeling of calm, a feeling of completion.
Absolutely. Yeah. And but I really appreciate that you called in today and joined our little soulmate circle. If there's anyone else that would like to call in, please do. The number is 718-305-6584. And we only have about 10 minutes left to the program. But thank you, Heather. And is there anything else that you might offer as a suggestion for our listeners?
Listen to that voice in the pit of your stomach, because time, although infinite, sometimes can pass. And don't allow yourself to say, well, he doesn't want this, but I can live with that. No. Take your list and take it to a T, because compromise is the most heartbreaking situation. If you will wake up one day, and I have done it, you will wake up one day next to a person, you'll be like, I gave up way too much to be next to you. Don't compromise.
Yeah,
worth it not to compromise.
You know, I think I understand where you're coming with that word, and I think that word is a little difficult to use in the context with love sometimes, only because we feel that, you know, there's a difference between compromise, acceptance, and unconditional love. And there are thin lines in there about, you know, compromise means, you know, am I willing to
to do without this or go this way in lieu of what I really want in my life. And then
well,
it doesn't feel so much.
You know, personally, Susie, I compromised a lot in my past relationships. I compromised dreams. I compromised hopes. I made their dreams my dreams, and I forgot who I was. I'm saying more the aspect of making sure there are things you should be able to understandably maybe bend to, but there, you should make sure that you stay you. You stay
right,
to yourself.
Right,
and
I believe
our, and who you need.
I believe Arielle covered that when we talked about self-image as well as, you know, knowing that you're whole within yourself because, you know, when we think about soulmates, sometimes we go out there looking for the other half mm-hmm. that is, you know, things that we're missing internally mm-hmm. that we need to complete us. And although I love the movie Jerry Maguire, I think that sentence, you know, when you said you complete me, it drew some really weird vibrations inside me. Because I know I had been there about, you know, there's a difference between living for someone and living with someone.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh, absolutely. Especially these days. Especially when I think people get overwhelmed with the fear of being alone, that they'll take anything. And I have been there and I understand it. But the only problem is, would you rather be it's like that Reba McEntire song, would you rather be lonely alone or would you rather be lonely with somebody you really don't want to be with?
Mm.
That's just the choice right there. If you have to be lonely, wouldn't you rather be lonely alone with a list and some hope and some dreams than sitting next to somebody where you're like you don't talk or you don't have anything in common, but it's a human body next to you? Mm.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's great that we're able to really willingly go into a relationship and say, you know, I really don't need this person in my life, but I want to mm-hmm. be with this person. I want to be able to comfortably nest into someone and know that, you know, we can mutually be there for each other without one having, you know, I never believed that whole 50-50 thing when it came to marriages and
yeah.
relationships. I believe that, you know, if one could only give that 10% at that one time, it's okay to pick up the 90%, you know,
mm-hmm.
so long as you're whole within yourself and it's something that you're knowingly and willingly ready to accept and participate in. Otherwise, then, you know, typically what you had said what turns out to be.
Exactly, and I think the one thing that people have to realize, and I've said this to all my girlfriends, I actually read this in a Dr. Phil book, when you go on a first date, look at yourself in the mirror and say, no matter what happens, I'm still me. No matter what happens on this date, I'm still me, and I still know what I want, I still know what I need. So no matter what happens, this is what is left. This is what's going to stand. And I think that's really strengthening, especially for women, because I've seen a lot of my girlfriends in New York go on these dates hoping and wishing and dreaming for this guy to be it, this guy to be the one. And it puts so much of a standard on themselves. Forget the guy. It puts so much of a pressure on them that they have to fit, like you said, a round peg into a square hole or so on and so forth. And you also have to let things happen on their own. I've been in situations where I've forced the things. I've forced relationships. I've forced breakups. I forced a lot of things in relationships, and I never became patient enough to figure out what I really needed in that relationship or in that situation. I just wanted to get it done and over with.
Right.
And I lost a lot in the long run, but I also gained a lot of knowledge in the long run as well.
Well, that's true, and I'm hoping that Jackie on Fire in the chat room had just listened to what you had to say about forcing relationships. You know, because sometimes we're afraid we've met that person that we believe is our soulmate, and we're afraid to let them go because they're not quite there. They're not feeling the same way. And the closer we get to them and try to talk them into it, so to speak, the further they run away and
mm-hmm.
faster. So, you know, and I'd love to address Jackie. I hope she calls in on 718-305-684 because that is a great topic to speak about. But thank you so much again, Heather, for sharing with us, and it's great to hear from you. And I wish you luck on your soulmate journeys.
Thank you.
I know I'll hear from you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, Jackie, are you willing to call in? Oh, wow. We have a lot of awesome advice coming on in the chat room right now, and I'm really appreciative of this. And I really want to thank everyone for joining us today. Since we don't have any more people calling in to share in the Soulmate Circle, I invite you to stay in the chat room for a little bit longer, and I'm going to head off the air. And be sure to tune in next week as we have a surprise guest here on Wisdom Wide Open Radio. And we're hoping everyone's enjoying a wonderful summer. And remember to find the joy in enjoying your journey, no matter what you're journeying through. Okay? And we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.